Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sorry I have to use the same formula every Sunday. I don't have to, but it's customary, so I do. Peace, grace be to you. We become so accustomed to hearing those words, we forget what they mean, or we don't pay any attention at all. And I've lost you before I've even gotten you. The text for this morning is in Matthew 11, familiar verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Your fellow redeemed by the blood of God's own Son, I want you to suppose that you were living 2,000 years ago in the days of Jesus. Now I have a question for you. Do you think that if you were living 2,000 years ago and you had the technology that you're carrying right now with you in your purse or your pocket, would God have been your Facebook friend? Would you have been content to have God visit you over Skype or Twitter? It's ridiculous, isn't it? But not because of the difference in the age and the technology. The reason it's ridiculous is because God would never, ever have wanted to be your Facebook friend or Twitter you or Skype you. That's not close enough for God. He came to visit you in the person of his Son. And he wouldn't have it any other way. He didn't want us to know him from afar off or to visit him whenever we could tweet him, whenever we could find the time. He wanted more than that for us. He came to us in the person of his eternal Son. He came in the flesh of man. You see, the problem is, for man to this day, even in this modern age of technology, natural man is no different than he was in Jesus' day. Natural man still does not want God to come to him. He wants to come to God. And so you can fill the churches all over the world when it's safe to do so. And you can bring sacrifice. People come to God when it's convenient. But they don't necessarily, at least not by nature, want God to come to them. Oh no. That's a different matter. Man would rather have a God made of stone, an immovable object that can be set on an altar somewhere or in a cave where he can visit once in a while. A God that is out of sight and out of mind. Man wants to be able to maneuver. He wants to be able to maneuver in his foolish state of mind around God as if God can't really see. And do the things that his flesh wants him to do and urges him to do because, after all, God can't see. Because of fear and guilt, man's religion is a don't call me, I'll call you sort of thing. But in our text, we're told that Christ comes close for comfort. First of all, these words, as simple as they are and as well as you understand, I hope, and know them, let's start off by pointing out that Jesus is an uncalled for helper. When our Lord fed the 5,000, the people were thrilled by this miracle of power. 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. When he healed the sick and raised the dead, and the people all said, well, we really like this. We want more of this. Stick around, will you? We'll make you a bread king. We want this every day. Come to us in this way. But whenever Christ spoke of the self-righteousness of the people, whenever he pointed to them and corrected their sin, they said, get away from me. I don't want anything to do with you. I didn't ask for this. And I won't stand for it. And whenever he presented himself as equal with God, Whenever he said, I and the Father are one, I have the authority to forgive sins. And the people said, what? What sins? We don't need forgiveness of sins. Our behavior doesn't need to be forgiven. We do the best we can. We are not so different according to our own sinful flesh. Sometimes we have a similar problem. It may be, in fact, easier for us to come to the church service when it's convenient. It's like twittering our friend when we got the time. When the pastor or another brother or sister wants to bring God into our personal lives because we've left him outside the door for some reason or other, and the pastor or brother or sister comes and says, you need to let the Christ come to you again and help you, then the sinful flesh squirms. The temptation is to say, if I need your help, I'll ask for it. Don't you call me and butt into my business, I'll call you. You'd be surprised, in 40 years in the ministry, how often this pastor's heard that from people that he was trying to help. What business is this of yours, Pastor? I live my life, you live your life. Is this the way, really, that we want to think of Christ and his representatives as the uncalled for helper? I hope not, because there's something wonderful in this text, in our Lord's invitation. He says, come here. When you or I need a doctor, we have to call him, right? And then you go to the doctor's office and first of all, you wait for an appointment. Then you get to the doctor's office finally, and you wait for an hour and a half. And then when the doctor comes, he expects you to pay him, doesn't he? You call him. If he can, the doctor will heal you, but it's going to cost you something. In most cases, those who would heal us or the lawyer who would defend us, they all will say the same thing. If you can pay, I'll help. But our Lord Jesus truly came to heal us and to defend us without our calling. The scriptures tell us we were helpless in our sins. We were enemies of God by nature. And that's when he came into our flesh. He surrendered himself on the cross for sinners, in order to save us from the eternal penalty of our sins and from the power of sin, death, and hell. We didn't ask him to do such a thing. We didn't ask him to come into the flesh from eternity. And we certainly didn't ask him to die for our sins. Thank you very much. We never called him to do that. But he goes out anyway in the message of the gospel, and he begs all the world, come, you who have no money, Isaiah 55. Come, buy and eat, listen diligently to me, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. The Lord Jesus Christ is our uncalled for helper. And Christ calls people to himself. He says, come unto me. Whenever we want to feed the poor or the hungry, we have to go to them. And we can do that. We can do that to an extent. We can help them with our limited supply of money and goods. But can you imagine any of us inviting all the world to come to us for help, for healing, for anything? In the first place, if you invited everyone in the world to come to you, you'd have to make yourself poor beyond belief. In order to help just a few people, you'd have to get rid of all that you have. And then you wouldn't be able to help all the people. And on the other side of the coin, you'd have the rich coming to you, and they have needs. And how are you going to help them? You see how impossible it is. We can't help all people. But Christ did. He alone is able both to experience the burden of every single person, sick, poor, distraught, lonely, grieving in the whole world, and he alone is able to give healing and heavenly blessing to everyone who believes in him. And do you see how he does this inviting? Those who are the most frightened and the most timid, these are the ones that he appeals to in these gentle words. There are people who have, and you know these people, they've been burdened not only with their sins and a troubled conscience, but they've also been burdened by laws and traditions imposed upon them by the churches that they've attended, or that they've grown up in homes where laws and traditions were laid upon them that weren't even, they were man-made. In addition to the sins, they feel deeply, and they are weighed down. We know such people. And then when you want to share Christ with this person and invite him to church, he may be thinking to himself, what do I want that for? I went away from that long time ago. I walked away from the church. I don't need to be going back to more laws where people expect this and this and this of me. I don't want to go back and have requirements laid on me again. I'm free from all that. Or he may be thinking, how can I go to a church, any church, when I don't measure up? When my life isn't as good as it should be before God. I've had people say to me over the years, when I get my life straightened out, then I'll come to church. Good luck with that. I still haven't got my life straightened out. Not where I deserve to come before God. But in Christ, I can come before God and before Satan. Why should I risk getting so close to God? Or to church? When people say things like that, we have to be able to say to them very plainly, you know, Christ did not call you to another church. I don't care what your experience has been in the past. Too bad. He's not calling you to another church. He's calling you to himself. To himself as your Savior. That's why he didn't come as a judge of sinners, but as a Savior of sinners. That's why he came in great meekness and lowliness. That's why he placed himself under the law of God in our places. That's why he put himself on the altar of the cross to be our sacrifice. This Jesus who calls you to himself isn't saying to you, come, let me put the yoke of the law of Moses back on you. That's not at all what he says. He says, be joined to me and learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why is his yoke easy and his burden light? Because it's not about obedience to law. It's not about anything in me. It's about the forgiveness of sins, grace, and salvation. That's what he gives us, so he has a very light yoke. If I believe in Christ, it's nothing to serve him. It's not a burden, because now it's not of the law to earn heaven. It's because he's given me heaven, and now it's a matter of love for him who gave himself for me. And you know love works easily. It's not a yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now notice Christ says here, come here, all you who labor and are heavy laden. When I was young, I didn't understand. My dad worked in a packing house. He labored hard every day. He came home and he was heavy laden. All you who labor, why didn't he explain that to us? Because with these words, he covers all who travel this wilderness of sin. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're plain, beautiful, ugly, no matter who you are or where you are, all of us shares the same sickness. We all carry the same burden. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Paul says in Romans 3. So if the Lord Christ seems too close for comfort, it can only be that we don't want to be included among those who are pressed down with a load of sin. Christ was uncomfortable to the Pharisees because they didn't think they needed a Savior. Who are you to point out sin to me? They felt uncomfortable. Or it could be that we are not experiencing the comfort of Christ's closeness. Our spiritual and Christian life seems kind of blasé, kind of the same thing. It could be that way. Because we have not confessed a sin that is particularly in the background, pressing on our conscience. How can you experience the closeness of Him who would give rest to your souls if you don't confess your sins? But the all of our text includes not only every sinner, but every sin. It includes you and me and all the evil that we've done. Nothing is excluded. And finally, notice the promise of Christ. He says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It's not easy, and you know this, for a person who's suffering from a serious physical illness to be sent by one doctor to another doctor and then to another doctor and then to hear finally that there's nothing that can be done for that person. That's difficult. But our Lord Christ promises that when we come to Him with the burden of our sin sickness, which is the most life-threatening disease there is in the world, surpassing cancer and everything else you can think of, He will not send us somewhere else. There's nowhere else to go. He's not only the help, but He's the helper. He's not only the doctor, He's the cure. He Himself is the sacrifice. In Him we find rest for our poor souls. The doctor can't be with his patients day in and day out. But Christ is with us constantly through the power of His Spirit and His gospel word to reassure us of the forgiveness we feel the need for. Only those who don't consider themselves to be very sick would say to a doctor, "Don't call me, I'll call you." Do you hear that? Only those who don't feel the need for a doctor will say, "Don't call me, I'll call you." Only those who are in perfect health might object to a doctor coming too close to them. But let us say to Christ, who comes close to comfort us, "Oh, draw us, Savior, to your side, for we are oft by sin oppressed. In words of grace, we come to hide. Come close, O Christ, to be our rest." Amen. And now may this peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts, because the Lord Jesus Christ has become your healer and your rest. Amen.